إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق العزيز الحكيم. اللهم مالك الملك تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير. وأشهد أن محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم عبده ورسوله بلغ رسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الغمة. اللهم أسقنا من يده الشريفة شربة هنيئة لا نضمأ بعدها أبدا. We send our present salutations to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sharbatan haniya, a blessed drink from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed hand on the Day of Judgment, a drink which will quench our thirst where we will never need to drink again. This is from the Hawd on the Day of Judgment, inshaAllah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be of those people. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بَأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind them, everyone, of the days of Allah. And the days of Allah are all the days of the year. Obviously Allah created time and created everything. So Allah created the days, but there are specific days which he preferred over others. So we have Ramadan, the 30 days of Ramadan of fasting. And we have within Ramadan, we have Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. And then we have the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, and we have the day of Arafah. Yesterday was the day of Ashura. Ashura is a day which Muhammad ﷺ blessed this day. It's the 10th day of Shahr Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar. And on the 10th day, Muhammad ﷺ came across people of the Jewish tribes who lived in Medina, and he found them fasting. So he asked them, why are you fasting? So they said to him, this is the day which Moses ﷺ, Prophet Moses, was saved from Fir'aun. Moses and Bani Israel, the tribe of Israel, were saved from Pharaoh, because Moses held his stick to the sea opened, and Moses went through with Bani Israel, and Pharaoh was Allah's sign, had reached his peak, and he was taken then. So Muhammad ﷺ said that I will fast on this day, and if I was to live the next year, which he didn't, because he passed away the following year, but he said, if I was to live the next year, I would fast 2 days, just so we have a slight difference in our Sharia. So it's preferable to fast on the 9th and 10th day, which was the day before Wednesday and Thursday, just gone. So if we have fasted those days, inshallah, we will have our sins of the past whole year forgiven. So inshallah, if we've done that, that would be a very good benefit. But inshallah, what I wanted to do today was to reflect on something of Bani Israel, of a few reflections of Moses and Bani Israel. Now Muhammad ﷺ, every time he faced difficulty, because Muhammad ﷺ faced many difficulties throughout his life. Just read the seerah, read the life of Muhammad ﷺ, and you'll see the difficulties that he faced. But every time he faced difficulties, he said, رحم الله أخي موسى. He said, may Allah have mercy on my, blessed be my brother Moses, because the prophets are brothers. So he said, blessed be my brother Moses, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ أُوذِي أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَصَبَرٌ. He was harmed much more than this, and he had patience. Now Moses was harmed by Bani Israel. Now as we've said many times, and inshallah we all know this, Bani Israel are the tribe of Israel. The 12 brothers of Joseph alayhi salam all had different names of tribes, and Moses was the prophet sent to them afterwards. So Bani Israel, Israel is another name for Yaqub, Prophet Jacob. So Jacob had 12 sons, and all the different tribes were under the name of Bani Israel. So Moses was sent to Bani Israel. But Bani Israel had a lot of problems. And I don't want to look at the problems and just point the finger and say, look at Bani Israel, how bad they are. Look at the things they did. But we need to reflect upon this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Verily, in the stories in the Qur'an, are lessons for those who reflect. So we want to be those who reflect and not have the same attitude. Because unfortunately, we'll see something which is happening in the Ummah today, especially amongst some youth. There are some youth who become very aggressive and hot-headed in their beliefs in Islam, and are taking on the exact same characteristics as we see with Bani Israel took. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the peak of the wrong things which they did. وَيَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ. They killed the prophets. Imagine, Bani Israel killed their prophets without right. They killed prophets. Who did they kill? They killed Zechariah. They killed him. They said that they cut him with swords in heart and pieces. They killed Yahya. They cut his head off. John, the cousin of Jesus, alayhi salam. They tried to kill Jesus. All of the different prophets, they had something against them. They tried to kill them. They did many things. And Allah tells us why they did this. Because some people say, oh my goodness, they are very bad people killing prophets. Of course. But what was it that led them to kill? Because they wouldn't just overnight say, let's kill the prophets. There's a build up to why they did that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers us. And He says, ذَلِكَ بِمَعَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. It is because of the sins which they accumulated. وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. And they transgressed the boundaries. They went far beyond just little minor sins. So we need to understand, brothers and sisters, that small sins which we do today build up, get worse and worse and worse. And as an English poet, I don't know the exact poem, but he said, beware when fighting the monster that you don't turn into a monster yourself. Because we say we want to fight against evil, amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy 'anil munkar, doing good and forbidding evil. But sometimes in the process, people become monsters themselves, they become evil. So they build up hatred and jealousy and argumentation and all of the sins and things which Muhammad SAW taught us. This isn't our syllabus, this isn't the way we go about it. Look at the 13 years of Mecca. Muhammad SAW was harmed and his companions were killed and beaten. He didn't say, he didn't know one of them in Medina had hatred in their heart. They wanted to see Hidayah for the rest of the world. They wanted to see people see the beauty of Islam. And what's the beauty of Islam? That you don't become a slave to your desires. That you worship the one and only Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't become a slave to yourselves. That you don't let your desires take you here and there. That you don't become hungry and greedy for money and intimate desires and all of these things which are leading people astray. He wants us to be free, ahrar, freedom. So the definition of freedom in Islam is different to the definition of free to do what I please. Rather, the definition of freedom in Islam is to be free from the change of the chains of desires which lead us astray. So some of the small sins which Bani Israel did. The story of the Baqarah. The chapter of Baqarah in the Quran, the biggest chapter in the Quran. What did they do? Moses told them, اِدَّحُ بَقَرَةً. Slaughter a cow. It's a long story, but he told them to slaughter a cow so that they could see the miracle and find who killed a particular man in Bani Israel. So they said, tell us what color the Baqarah is. Tell us what it looks like. There's too many Baqarah. There's too many cows. Kept arguing with the prophets, arguing with Moses. And imagine they were so rude to Moses, the prophet of Allah. They knew he's a prophet. They know he's a prophet. But they kept arguing with him. And they said, are you making fun of us, Moses? Imagine if we went to Prophet Muhammad and said, are you making fun of us? It's very, very rude to speak to that. We don't talk like that. But they did. So they kept making fun. And in the end, they killed the cow and they did what Moses told them. And another thing, when they were winning a battle, the Prophet said to them, قُولُوا حِطَّةٌ نَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ خَطَيَاكُمْ وَسَنَزِيدُ الْمُحْسَنِينَ فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ كَفْرُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. So they were told, say hitta, which is like say subhanallah when they were entering and winning a battle. But they changed it and made fun of the word. They said himta, which is making mockery of the words. They had very ill manners with the prophets. When Moses alayhi salam, when he took Bani Israel out of Egypt, he told them to go to Ard al-Muqaddasa, to go to the holy land of Jerusalem. And they said, inna fiha qawman jabbarin, that there's powerful people in there, we won't be able to take them on. So they said in the end, أَذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَهُ. Go you and your Lord Moses and fight them. إِنَّهَا هُنَا فَعَدُونَ. We will stay here. We're lazy, we just want to stay here. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about them in Surah Al-Ma'idah? يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ 40 سَنَةً. They went just round on a hopeless circular motion in the land for 40 years. Now why 40 years? The scholars have said, why 40 years? Why not 20 years? Why not 15 years? And tea, many scholars have described us as Muslims at this time are in something called tea. Tea means that lost, we're lost. So they kept going around for all this time, for 40 years, not knowing what's happening. 40 years it takes. The reason why the scholars say 40 years, because it takes 40 years for a new generation to come along. For a new, sometimes they say now, the old people, that's it. There's no hope. We need to teach the young people now and make them become what we want them to become. So 40 years, imagine 40 years they were going hopelessly, aimlessly around the land. He wants to earn a living, he wants to do this, he wants to do that. Same as us, you know, sometimes we just get lost in the routine that we forget what we're doing here. We forget that our lives are very limited. And for anyone who knows mathematics, if you put your life in comparison to eternity, it works out to zero. Any number, put any number over infinity. You know, 199 million billion over infinity equals zero. Which means any number in comparison to infinity is nothing. So our life here is very short and limited. Our life is very short and limited in comparison to the eternity which we are going to see in the hereafter. So sometimes we say, okay, have a little bit of a difficult life, sacrifice a little bit for an eternal happiness. That's our aim, inshallah. So sometimes we forget the fact that we want to go to heaven. So we do need something called Nahda. In Arabic it's Nahda, which is a revival of the Muslims. We need to see Muslims do good things in the world, to promote good things. Not just be speaking about, I mean, unfortunately people go up with banners burning puppies on the day when they were burning puppies and doing all of these things in the name of Islam. What benefit is that doing to the Muslims? What benefit is that? They have something they want to say or express it. There are many mediums they can go through. But unfortunately, they get lost in the moment and they forget the cause. Now in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah is 286 verses. And Surah Al-Baqarah is a great chapter. It's one of the most, Yani Muhammad Sallam blessed this chapter in many hadiths. But it's 286 verses. And on the 143rd verse, which is exactly right slap bang in the middle of the verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ, this is right in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the middle of Surah Al-Baqarah says, and for this reason we have made you a moderate nation, moderate people, so that you can be witnesses over the people and so that Muhammad can be witness over you. So in order for me to know what's happening in the world and for us to know what's happening, we have to be in the middle. If we're on the far right or the far left, you don't know the full story. We need to be in the middle. And some people have terminologies of modern Muslim or moderate Muslim. What's a moderate Muslim? Is a moderate Muslim Muhammad who drinks beer and goes to the pub and has a roast party? No, that's not moderate Islam. We hold on to our faith and we hold on to our beliefs. Alcohol is haram. We say all the things which are forbidden, we say they're forbidden. And we hold on to our identity. But moderate meaning in the way we express ourselves, the way we live our lives. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغَلُوْ فِي الدِّينِ Muhammad Sallam said, I don't go to extremes in religion. People went to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they said to him, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to read the Quran in its entirety every day. I'm going to fast every day and I'm going to stand at night all night praying. So what did Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell him? He said, don't do that. He says, read the Quran in 30 days if you want to. And then they said, no, but we can do more than 30 days. 30 days, you know, that's just too long. I want to do more than that. He said, okay, 15. And then he went down and down and he said, okay, 3. No more than 3 days. He doesn't want to overburden people. Don't read the Quran fully in its entirety. It is too much. He said, and me, myself, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I fast and I break my fast. Some days he fasts, some days he breaks his fast. Some nights he stands in prayer, some nights he doesn't stand in prayer. So he said, be moderate. Don't be extreme. And there was one scholar, he says, النفس تميل إلى الغلو في الرزد والغيب. He said that the human soul naturally inclines towards extremism in good and bad. So we have people, متطرفين, we say, the extremists. Extremism in religion and their views and their world views. But there are also extreme on the opposite side of Islam. People who can sit down and watch football all day, do nothing but watch football all day. But it's halal, brother. There's nothing wrong with football. It's not haram. It's not haram. But to watch football all day, there's something wrong there. So there's extremes on both sides. So Muhammad SAW said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to be ummatan wasata, be moderate people. Now the example of people of Bani Israel who took their religion to an extreme. There were many people of Bani Israel who weren't like that. They didn't do these things. But there were people of Bani Israel who took their views to an extreme to the degree that they killed their own prophets. Now there are people in our ummah today, some call them the neo-Khawarij, some people call them the neo-this, the neo-that. But we need to understand what are the Khawarij and what is their view in Islam. Because Khawarij are a type of people who appeared after Muhammad Sallam. And Muhammad Sallam explained to us what they would be like. He said, if you see them, and he really warned us against them. He said, if you see them, you will think your prayer is insignificant. You see, mashallah, he's praying, amazing, khushu'ah. Look at his prayer, he prays all day and all night. He reads the Quran better than anyone. He memorizes the Quran. It says he has this image of piety on the outside. Image of piety on the outside. But on the inside, it says that the Quran doesn't go past his throat. It doesn't even reach any of his intellect. Just stays in his throat. And it says other people will benefit from his talks, and he won't benefit. SubhanAllah, that's quite strong. The Khawarij. I mean, the Khawarij, look what the Khawarij did. Khawarij killed Uthman ibn Affan. Imagine, the companion of Prophet Muhammad SAW, who married two of the daughters of Muhammad SAW in his lifetime. The Amir al-Mu'mineen, he did so much for the Ummah. And they decided to come up with a rule and law to kill him. Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali, imagine Ali. I mean, who closer to Muhammad is Ali? Ali, the cousin and son-in-law of Muhammad SAW. They killed Ali because they said that إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ. Their slogan, the Khawarij's slogan, if they would have a slogan, was إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ لِلَّهِ. The ruling, only Allah has the true rule. We don't have the right to say what's right and what's wrong. Only Allah. So they take a verse out of his context and they say, وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمَرْ بِمَا أَمَرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And they started to say all of these verses. Yes, they're in the Quran. But do they know the verse before it? Do they know the verse after? Do they know the understanding? Do they know have they studied? Many of the Khawarij were never ever any, there were never scholars within them. They were all extremists who were very literalists. They took the books. And we have many people appearing with that same image now. If you're not Muslim, you're going to hell. If you're not Muslim, you're kafir, black and white. And Allah didn't teach us that in the Quran. And within the Muslim Ummah, within the Muslims ourselves, we divide ourselves. He's Sunni, he's Shia, he's Hanafi, he's Hanbali, he's Shafi, he's Shia. All the different madhabs and sects which we have, all which are being allowed by the Ummah, we start dividing. And Allah says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ الَّذِي سَمَكُمْ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Allah says in the Quran, He has called you Muslims. So we just say, if you say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you're Muslim. But there are people who go to the extreme, permitting themselves to kill their leaders and to kill their brothers and sisters that they see them doing wrong. Some people will take a hadith and say, if you don't pray, you are kafir. No, that's not what the hadith says. That's not what the hadith says. If you take it literally, you'll understand it like that. But you need, that's why we need our teachings to be under the light of scholars. Al-ulama warathat al-anbiya. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. The scholars, and unfortunately we've lost appreciation for scholars nowadays. There are many scholars around, there are many scholars, but we haven't given them their true right. They have a right over us, but we haven't given them their right. So what did the Khawarij do? They had many things called taqiyya, which is called concealment. They said that it's okay for us to lie to people about our beliefs, but within ourselves we'll say, oh, he's a kafir, he's a mushrik, he's a munafiq, he's this, astaghfirullah, he's a murtad, he's going to hell. All of these things, they justified themselves talking about people behind their backs, and in front of them they pretend that they're all nice and all brothers. That's what they did. But they didn't have any scholars. I mean, that's the thing, they never had any true scholars. So they arrogated themselves the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, this is the hukm of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَلْ نُنَبِّئِكُمْ بِالْأَخْرِينَ عَمَالًا. Shall we not tell you of the people in loss? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعِيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صَنْعًا. Allah says, shall I not tell you the people who are in loss? The people whose their roads went astray, their paths went astray, and they think they're doing good. يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صَنْعًا. Oh, I'm doing good. This is for the right. Your brother, this is the Quran, this is the Sunnah. Brothers, we need to wake up to these things and really talk against the extreme views which we see in the Ummah and show that this is Ummah and Wasata. We have a moderate view. We are civil people in our business, in our family life, in our transactions. Everything we do, we need to be civil. InshaAllah, qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. One of the companions of the Prophet saw Muhammad standing on the minbar, giving a speech, and he said, ما غضب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قط مثل ما غضب للمتنطعين. Muhammad sallam never became angry as I saw him become angry against متنطعين. متنطعين is the people يتشددون, they go to extremes in a place where there shouldn't be extremism. They have extreme views in places where there's no need for it. He was so against them. He said, halakal munatta'un. They will be destroyed. They will be destroyed. And he said that he used to forgive the people who didn't fulfill their obligation in Islam more than he forgave the people who went to extremes. That's how severe it was. So we really need to advise brothers and sisters, our young brothers and sisters and our young generation and ourselves, that Islam is a moderate religion. It calls to peace. It calls to salam. Every time we finish our prayer, we say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and then we say Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Our religion is full of peace. Islam itself is a derivative of one of the words of peace, salam. We need to be ummatan wasata litakun shuhada ala an-nas, so that you can be witnesses on the day of judgment. Because Allah Muhammad sallam will be a witness against us, and for some people, there is a particular people within the ummah who we will say, "Inna qawmi hajaru al-Qur'an." My people, some of his people, took the Quran as unimportant. They neglected the Quran. Now, one last thing of Bani Israel which they did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Tal alayhim al-amad." Tal alayhim al-amad. They had this book, the Torah, for so long, faqasat qulubuhum. So their hearts became hardened. Their hearts became hard to it. So we don't want to have our hearts hardened to the Qur'an. We want to reflect upon the Qur'an. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not reflect over the Qur'an? InshaAllah, let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to be guided by the Qur'an, to have rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. اللهم اغفر المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم أتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ارحمنا واغفر لنا واعف عنا يا أرحم الراحمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه يستجب لكم. لذكر الله أكبر. والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.